All right, folks, I'm with SG, and I won't say the last part of it, but SG, very well known in the community. Lots of stuff heating up, man. We are in it now. We are in it now. It looks like Russia is giving threats and saying they will join Iran if Israel retaliates. And obviously, Israel is going to retaliate. SG, thank you for coming on again, man. I know you're a busy guy.
Not a problem, my friend. Glad to be here and commentate a little bit on it. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, absolutely, folks. Before we get started, get your morning kick. That's right. Chuck Norris is back. Actually, he didn't go anywhere. He's still alive and kicking. Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I recently saw a video that he made, and I was shocked. He's in his 80s and still kicking ass and working out and staying active. What's even more shocking is he's stronger, can work out longer, and even has plenty of energy left over for his grandkids. And he did this just by making one change. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this one thing too, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner and has energy all day long. Don't you wish you had the same thing? I do, and I'm in my 40s. Chuck made a special video that explains everything. Make sure you watch it by going to chuckdefense.com/Nino. Or by clicking on the link below this video, it will change the way you think about your health. Once again, that's chuckdefense.com/Nino. And click on the link in the description box below and watch the video now. You won't believe how simple it really is. Just a reminder, the legendary Chuck Norris is a whopping 81 years old and he has more energy now than ever before. Hit the link down below, folks. It's chuckdefense.com/Nino. Get started on this. It's worth watching. I got to say, my dad was playing racquetball till he was 84. I mean, you just got to stay in the gym, folks. That's really the gist of it. You just got to keep healthy, stay in the gym, and eat right, and you can have a long, long life. All right. SG, do you ever watch any of Chuck Norris's movies or?
It's been a very long time. I think the last Chuck Norris film I watched was Walker, Texas Ranger.
Man, that was a big series, wasn't it?
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Chuck Norris, dude. I like all the memes that are coming out with him now too. But let's get on this. So, it looks to me, SG, like this is heating up, and it's beyond. I think it's beyond. I think we've hit the point of no return. What do you think?
Honestly, Nino, I think we probably hit the point of no return sometime over the last 5 to 6 months, right? We're now 4 years into this new year, 2024. We're concluding, as far as the business year, and we have the worldwide financial fiscal year resetting this month, as it does every single April. But I think we've been on a collision course, if you will, with a lot of these things, frankly, since last October and last November. We've seen long lines drawn in the sand by a number of different regional and international actors with varying degrees of part and party to conflict. We have a tremendous amount of economic change that's being forced with the throttling of the petrodollar. Now the BRICS nations actively calling for the dollar to be ditched by the Gulf Arab states entirely, which would essentially undercut the body out from beneath OPEC and would drive fuel costs, certainly here in the United States, but I think in most of North America and Western Europe, very, very high, very quickly. So we've been on a collision course for a while, and that collision course is serving a number of different purposes, despite the fact that it is a bit tempestuous and scary to walk down that. One of those purposes, of course, is the dethronement of the sort of monarchical authority that the dollar has had since the 40s, and then again reiterated in the 70s with the removal of the backing of government debt with U.S. notes. And so that dollar has been in control of a great deal of power and finance, et cetera, all around the planet for a very long time. That's a major component of this. And the US dollar is core to the central banking system that has been enslaving the world for hundreds of years. Quite literally, they put too many eggs in one basket and we're dumping the basket out. The other things that are happening here, which I think are important to highlight, especially with the Middle East, it's only going to get bigger as we look at this process because we are over a precipice, I believe, in this particular regard. But another important point to make is drawing factions of all of the different governments within the Middle Eastern nations and the Gulf Arab states. You have a number of Gulf Arab states that are almost like de facto protectorates of the U.S. State Department. They're sort of lapdogs, if you will, and have been for a while. Pakistan is a good example of that. Saudi Arabia, less so. I think Saudi Arabia has a deeper part in all of this as it pertains to the reset of money, worldwide money and finance. Then you have the component populations in these various states, right, to include Israel. I include Israel in this entire constellation, that are at the polar opposite, excuse me, end of where their government is actually taking them. They don't want to go in that direction. They've been petitioning not to go in that direction. And in a great many instances, to include Israel and to include most of those Arab states, actually, the dissidents and the calls for peace and cooperation are resoundingly punished by infiltrations. Factions hid sort of in plain sight or gave up key individuals of their own, sacrificing a part of the beast for the goodness of the whole during the Trump administration with the Abraham Accords. But we have a number of different intelligence communities, especially in the IRGC, for example, that are embedded in a number of consulates all around the Middle East and proxy warehouses and storage depots all around the Middle East, in the same spirit and sort of in the same design as that of the U.S. Community. There's not a lot of difference in these intel communities. They just sort of lobby the ball back and forth, spawning off conflict for the central banking masters at the very top who have control of world money. So looking at what's happening, Nino, between Russia's expanded operations and very soon, between the relationship between Russia and Damascus in particular, between the activities now of Iran kinetically towards Israel, and we have Israel essentially saber-rattling, saying that they are going to punch back. And now we have support coming from larger international teams, essentially stressing that while, yes, everyone should act with restraint and exercise self-control, we're also willing to step in the gap and not allow various intelligence community forces that have plunged the world into conflict before continue in the same old path that they have been in the past. So I'm expecting these conflicts, quite frankly, to grow. And in that process, I'm expecting that the petrodollar will be essentially drained of relevance worldwide.
You know, I'm looking at some of the headlines right now, and as we approach summer and go into the Olympics, I would not be surprised, SG, and I told you this, that if the Olympics are halted along with the November, you know what? I think that's going to be, I think the November event will be halted. I think there's going to be an event. It's already happening. It's April, and look where we're at. But right here, I'm looking at KLM has canceled all flights to and from Tel Aviv, Israel on Tuesday, and Iran's deputy foreign minister says that if Israel makes another mistake, it won't have 12 days. It may just have one day or an hour. The next slap will be delivered in seconds, and has already been approved. Russian defense minister has warned the U.S. Defense Ministry that if Israel retaliates against Iran, Russia will join Iran in the counterattack. State-affiliated media reports this development. So we know Israel is going to respond. So, and we know if they do, then these people are going to make good on their word. I don't see, this is going to get so hot by summertime. I think that either the Olympics will be halted or something really bad could happen during the Olympics. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, this is now, I feel, to the point of no return.
You know, I think my thoughts on that are that whether the Olympics are canceled or not, the Olympics will be a target and they will be relevant in the ongoing conflicts that are developing right now, because these conflicts will not be concluded by mid to late June and early July, which I believe is the schedule and itinerary for the Olympics. France has already requested military law enforcement capacity from more than 45 countries around the world, and I find the number very symbolically interesting there, to help preserve the integrity of the Olympics. However, Paris has also said that Russian and Belarusian athletes and performers are not permitted at the Olympics. So we're going to see.
Really? I didn't know. So they're not letting the – really?
Indeed. Wow. So we're looking at the activities now of – you know, very relevant regional players, many of whom are going to have skin in the game in the Mediterranean. They're going to have skin in the game as far as the Olympics are concerned. And we have organized net cells. And yes, some of them are Islamic jihadi in nature. But it's worth remembering that nearly all of those cells are funded, financed, and trained its community and their various training locations worldwide. So understanding then that we're dealing with a number of threats here in the West over these summer months, right? I think it's worth highlighting that whether the Olympics is canceled or not, we need to be very vigilant about that event. And it would not surprise me if we do see a cancellation. Frankly, I think it's more likely that the Olympic cancellation, if we're going to run with that speculative just for a moment here, I think it's more likely that that would occur as a result of France's involvement in war. War right now is entering into next phases. We recently had the French Foreign Legion deployed to very near front lines and were actually caught in a retaliatory response from Russian forces and lost ground and territory personnel and manpower and experienced a tremendous loss of life. So looking at that involvement and the fact that that particular conflict is going to escalate significantly by mid to late summer as the ground dries from the winter thaw, and as we start to see more humanitarian temperatures to operate within, and the Russian military knows this, I think we see the collapse of that front very soon, Nino, and it's possible that events between Western European countries, France in particular, and Russia directly, outside of events that are happening in the Middle East between Israel and Iran, could be the impetus for a cancellation or a postponement of that event.
Or, what's scary to me is they let this transpire, they let the Olympics go through, and something really bad happens. And that's, I'm hoping that at least they cancel it rather than risk anyone's lives. These athletes are going there to compete. They train their asses off, man. They're fighting for their country in their own way. And then could you imagine? I don't know. I mean, it seems to me, something, this event could happen during the Olympics. I'm worried about it. That's all I'm saying. It seems like a valid threat, SG.
It absolutely is a valid concern. And quite frankly, Nino, I've highlighted on the audio files that I believe that particular event to be symbolic in nature, going back a multi-thousand year period for our friends at the top of society, or formerly at the top of society anyway. And so utilizing that event as a symbolic channel to introduce some sort of chaos or some sort of disturbance in the force, if we can call it that, excuse me, is not only possible, but I think is plausible and likely. So seeing a cancellation of that event, in this context of discussion we're having right now, is actually preferable rather than having a situation like what happened in Las Vegas in 2000, and I believe it was 17, for example. Regardless, the situation and the delicate nature of things geopolitically worldwide could not be overstated at this point. We are in a period of unprecedented international relationship. We have not seen an offensive nation state level action from Iran, which was ancestrally Persia, against Israel, or even the Israelite tribes and kingdoms in the days of old for a very long time, really since the days of antiquity. So this is living history, right? This is a 2,500 year event that has just occurred. How this plays out and how this comes back to affect things like the U.S. Event in November and tying into investigations around that, I think that's probably going to be very key. If you remember, it was the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps that first ran afoul of a very special executive order issued by the 45th president. So understanding that they have information then in league with or acting in concert with our own treacherous community in certain arenas and at certain levels, I think that's very, very important to remember in this process. And this drag out that we're seeing, this particular drag out, not only does it have that advantage of drawing it to attention that specific arena, but it has the advantage of setting the world up for events to come from the Pacific. And remember, that's one arena that we're expecting to go live pretty soon, but has not in a significant way that we're aware of yet.
Do you see Russia threatening America's mainland before? I see it happening, but do you see it happening before November? Do you think that there could be a nuclear threat from, let's say, Russia, China? Do you see that in the cards actually before November? Because I feel that that's very possible.
You know, well, let me make sure I understand the context.
Excuse me?
An old missile exchange, right? Some sort of event of that nature. And so if that's the question here, then I think it's possible that we get right up to that precipice moment. Whether or not we cross that threshold, that's a really dangerous event horizon that I'm not capable, I think, to adequately comment on. I will say that we've got saber rattling to the same that has been coming from the Russian Air Force in the Alaska Identification Zone in recent weeks. We have the Russians conducting very, very advanced technological testing and R&D testing of missile and guidance systems in their Arctic bases. We have the Chinese also conducting similar, you know, testing, as well as Little Rocket Man from Pyongyang. You know, I've thought about this quite a bit, Nino, and I think it's more likely that if we're going to introduce the idea of a true missile exchange of some kind, that that exchange be spawned off or be blamed on in the history books on North Korea. And how that plays out with the activity and the events in the Pacific, I think that's going to be really key, not only to the economic events here in North America, but also the galvanizing of patriots to understand that topics like national security are important, but it's a difficult conversation to have, and we need better transparency and accountability on how to actually accomplish the guarantees that we all want to have and work together, you know, properly at an international level.
Kim Jong-un has stated that it now is the time more than ever to prepare for war, so they're getting ready.
Indeed, and I believe you're going to see events on the South Korean Peninsula before this is over, which could spawn off the answer to the question that you asked just a moment ago about a bona fide threat against the continental land masses of the United States. I don't think that it is wise to get too far down the road of speculation in this arena, because it does muddy the water. But one of the things that is important to recall is that President, the 35th president of the United States of America, encountered a missile crisis, and it was a very powerful and compelling crisis that actually neutered the effectiveness of that administration in its campaign in those days against a certain three-letter agency. And so sort of symbolically taking that control back, or providing the basis to take that control back through a possible exchange or a possible crisis of some kind, where we go again right to the precipice, but maybe not with projectiles actually in the air, I think that is very possible in this process, and it's so important for patriots to keep a level head regardless of the progression of events.
So let's just be fair here. I've had a guest come on my show, and everyone knows who that is, stating that we will have a Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0. So do you agree with that, SG?
I do. And it would not surprise me if we actually see the vector of Cuba itself as the symbolic stepping stone for that new 2.0 event to occur, right? We've got the Chinese that are already heavily invested in Latin America, Central America, certainly in supply chains, resource chains, etc. It would not be very difficult at all to run a couple of cargo ships full of Chinese military equipment, including projectiles and guidance systems, and put them right there on the island. And I think it's very possible that we actually see that, you know, in this process, because that ties into that whole Belt and Road initiative that China has been talking about for a number of years now.
Well, I will say, folks, it's heating up. It's getting crazy, and we're there now. I feel like we've hit the point of no return. I think it's just going to continue to heat up throughout the summer, and then going into September, October, especially October, it's going to get really hot, red October. SG, I won't take any more of your time. I know you're on the road. Thank you for coming on, giving us a quick little update, man. I love balling back and forth with you, man.
Absolutely, my friend. Happy to do it. And at the end of the day, patriots need to remember that cool heads prevail always on the battlefield, and that this is indeed a war. It's not a simple battle. There are exchanges that occur, and we have to allow some of these exchanges to occur so that we can set them up to drop the entire show all around them when it's over.
Agreed. All right, SG, take care of yourself, my man.